Hi there and good day. This is Naimish Modi for CKMS Radio 102.7 in Waterloo. It's great to be with you. Over the last couple days, I spoke to a leader in minor sports in Kitchener and advocates for the importance of outdoor play from Outdoor Play Canada. My first interview is with Ron Moybrook, president of Kitchener Minor Baseball. Moybrook spoke to me about how eager the organization is to get up and running again this summer. The league ran a short season last year and is hoping to run a more full version in 2021. Please note, the interview was completed on Wednesday, May 19th. According to the province's announcement on May 20th, outdoor sports appear to be allowed to begin in mid-June as reopening continues. Hey, Ron, how are you doing?
Good.
How tough has it been for the players and the league not to be able to run basically for a year? Did you run at all in 2020 in any smaller means?
We did. We ran several things in 2020. So we ran... So basically, baseball within some different bubbles for our rep players for 6 weeks in August. So when we were able to do that, so we got about a 6 week season for the rep players. The House League players didn't play during the summer, but then we were able to set up a fall House League program that ran for also 6 weeks in the fall. So we were able to get the House League players back out in the fall before the winter came. So we certainly, I think, maximized what was available last year and got as much out of it as we could.
That's great. Do you have any plans for this summer in terms of safety protocols, or when you'll be able to potentially open up? Or
we don't know for sure. We're all watching closely the news and the comments from the government, and hopefully we're hearing about outdoor amenities and lots of that with baseball fields, and the fact that we're not going back to the color scheme. So all those things, we try to read into them and figure out what it means, and of course we're kind of guessing. It really feels like we'll be back out, whether it's Monday, June 4th, June 12th, end of June, July 15th. Like, it really feels like there's a day coming. We've been preparing for it. The leagues are doing scheduling. Teams are staying together. We're doing online workouts and doing different classroom sessions. So everyone's staying really engaged and really watching closely what's going on. And we're ready to move as soon as we're allowed to do so. And you ask about safety protocols. Of course, the Baseball Ontario has safety protocols have been put out around the use of dugouts, use of face masks, how to sort of interact with coaches, interact with players. Players have to stay 6 feet apart. So we did that last year as well. So people are pretty good at it.
In terms of the face masks, are they required? I'm assuming they're required in the dugout. Are they not? They're not required on the field, correct?
They're required whenever you're sort of within 6 feet of somebody. So if you're going to go talk to the pitcher, then you should put your face mask on. And then we're going to use, we have the ones that you can pull up. So that's nice and handy. If you're holding a runner on at first base, that person has to do it. So where are those close contact points? Yes. If you're standing out in the field, you don't have to, So there's a, depending on where you are. And then, as I said, we don't use the benches. The kids all stand in lawn. They sit in lawn chairs 6 feet apart. So yeah, it's, the protocols are pretty well known.
In terms of maybe like cleaning protocols, is there anything that the KMBA does in terms of bats and balls, or is that sort of not really part of the program anymore?
It definitely is. I think the whole sanitizing of balls, I think some of that's not quite as emphasized by the health officials anymore. Certainly good hygiene is always good. We, in our House League program, they've removed the idea we're no longer sharing bats, no longer catchers sharing face masks, so that sort of direct sharing of equipment amongst players doesn't happen. There's been some loosening in the, if you catch a ball and then you throw it, and I catch it and I throw it, that's probably okay. There's hand sanitizer, that's you're supposed to use that when you come onto the bench to kind of mitigate any of that. So yeah, it certainly is still something to be aware of, but because we played last year and those sort of habits have been built in, everyone kind of knows how it works, so we almost forget that it's there, but it certainly is all built in now.
Yeah, and I've sort of read the same thing, is that politicians have not really been stressing that as much as last year, I think because we do know a little bit more about the virus and not necessarily spreading that way, but it's good to hear there are some protocols anyways. In terms of scheduling and teams, I know that some leagues last year, in some hockey leagues, had small cohorts of teams that only play each other. Is that something that KMBA is planning to do this year as well, just to mitigate potential larger outbreaks?
Yeah, we did the same last year. So we worked in bubbles of 50 players, which, because baseball rosters are pretty big, sometimes that was only two teams or three teams having to play each other all season, which was great to get out and play any baseball, but it wasn't ideal. This year, as far as the scheduling for baseball, that's in the plan. So we're all planning for those cohorts. We're not sure if that's going to be ongoing. We're kind of assuming so for now. And then there's some different scheduling around being in cohorts and then taking time and like swapping cohorts so that you can see some different kids, but not all in a row sort of thing. So yeah, it definitely is part of the planning, and, like everything else, we'll adapt. If it isn't required after a while, we'll adapt to that, and we'll be happy about that. And if it is required, then we're prepared to do that as well.
And that would be for the rep teams as well, or the higher level teams would follow that same protocol, like maybe potentially only playing like a couple of cities or something?
Yeah, that's definitely what we've done. Last year, I know the team that I coached, we were in with Hamilton and Ancaster, and we played those two teams all year, and that's what we did.
Right. And normally would the scheduling start in April, so that obviously is a bit of a delay due to the orders, or?
It usually is more like the 20th, like around Mother's Day, sort of kicks off, so later in May, by the time the fields get open and the weather is nice. So as of today, we really haven't missed too much of a schedule, so if we were to start tomorrow morning, it would probably be able to be a full schedule as far as getting all the games in. If it takes a little longer, then we got to compress it a little bit. But we're not too far behind yet. The longer it takes, I guess, the more we get a little bit behind. But as I said, everybody's planning. The intent is to have a meaningful season with the normal number of games. I know that tournaments this year, they've called off all the tournaments for the summer. So weekends are now available to all the teams to try to get some of those games in. So people are prepared to be creative and do what's necessary.
The news of the color-coded framework sort of not being part of the plan of Ontario, do you think that, like, recreational sports are going to be open? Like, have you heard anything about recreational sports being open right when the stay-at-home order ends, or are you sort of just waiting for the province's guidelines there, too?
Yeah, definitely just waiting. I mean, I think everyone has their own wishes and interpretations and desires for what's going to come, and I guess it's fun to ponder it, but it's we'll have to read the guidelines when they come out and understand what it means and then make the decisions from there. So we all certainly hope that we're able to get out and play sports and to get the kids out, especially, and whatever guidelines need to be followed, they'll be followed to get these guys as much outdoor activity as possible.
Right, and what tips do you think you would give players to do to stay in shape in terms of not only baseball, but their overall health and getting ready for the season? Because obviously there is a potential delay. Has there been any tips that you've been going through in these workouts or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. We've been working with our trainer, and we've been sending out workout videos to kind of do some of the basic movements of for baseball, and a lot of it's just the very basic stuff. They've been doing their running every day, so kids have been, we've asked them to go out and make sure they do a good number of sprints every day just to keep the body moving and those sort of things, doing some arm exercises. And so yes, it's certainly been information that they've been given, and we work with them. My team and I, we do twice a week, we go online and we do workouts together online on a Zoom call. So I think from what I've seen around the organization, everybody is doing their best to make sure it's getting out there, and I've seen amazing engagement from the kids. They're always on the calls, they're anxious to be there, they're anxious to do the work, so that's been really rewarding, and hopefully that we get rewarded for the efforts by being able to go out and play soon.
Right, and has there been any drop in registration or normal registration or more than expected? Is there anything in terms of that and patterns due to the pandemic, or?
Our rep program's still pretty good. I think everyone's been pretty stable there. The housing numbers are down a little bit. I think some of it's just hesitancy, not knowing exactly what's happening. And just last year they didn't play, so some people, if you're off for a year, maybe lose that interest and find other things. That's probably normal. It hasn't been too bad. Probably 15-20% down. Something that certainly, I think, if we can get back on the field and get back at it, is recoverable. But yeah, a little dip because of it, which I think is be expected, but not something we can't recover from if we, as long as we're able to get going in the reasonably near future and have a what feels like a more normal season this year and hopes of a normal season next year. I think it's something that can be brought back.
Right, and just like from you, for you personally, how excited are you to get back on the field, and how important do you think it is for kids of all ages just to get back into sports after, I guess, so many stretches of virtual learning and not getting too many opportunities to take part in the last year?
Personally, I laugh just because it's bouncing off the walls. Like, just like even right now, I'm staring out the window going, I've got a baseball in my hand and I'm flipping up and down and I'm staring out the window. I'm ready. And I'm certain the kids are the same. We hear it from them and their parents, and they're anxious and ready to go. They want to get this thing going. These guys, we were able to in the wintertime do a bunch of training before the big lockdown happened. So they got to do some training together, and we've been doing the weekly calls, and it's just been this preparation time of being ready to go. And now, yeah, it feels like we're horses in the gates and they're waiting for them to open. And I think they're going to gallop out as soon as they do.
All right. Thanks for your time, Ron. And all right, have a nice day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lastly, I spoke to Luis Delanoy from Outdoor Play Canada about the impact of lockdowns on kids and adults in terms of minor sports and outdoor activity. Outdoor Play Canada is a network of advocates, practitioners, researchers, and organizations working together to promote, protect, and preserve access to play in nature and the outdoors for all people living in Canada. Outdoor Play Canada provides leadership to galvanize the outdoor play movement across Canada to promote the health and wellness of Canadians and the environments in which we live. In our interview, we also focused on the benefits of Ontario's reopening plan, which was announced on Thursday, May 20th. The interview took place on Friday, May 21st. The first thing I did want to ask you, Louise, is what do you think the impact of outdoor sports and outdoor activities being canceled has had an effect on children and adults over the last year?
So we actually conducted a survey in association with Participaction and a number of different universities across Canada early on in the pandemic, around April of 2020. We asked parents to self-report the physical activity and movement behaviors of their children during that time and how that compares to pre-pandemic levels. And so early on in the pandemic, around that time, what we observed based on that survey is that children's physical activity was down, their time spent outdoors and outdoor play had gone down, that their screen time, of course, had shot right up. And the only really positive thing that happened was that sleep seemed to have increased as well. And what we observed on top of that is that when we specifically looked at time spent outdoors and outdoor play, we noticed that those declines in time spent outdoors corresponded with policies surrounding the closure of outdoor spaces. So those policies across Canada that were more strict in relation to, what kind of places and if you could use outdoor spaces for play, if those were more strict, then outdoor play and time spent outdoors had decreased among children and youth. And, of course, that's a major problem because what we've shown in the past is when they spend more time outdoors, they move more, they sit less, and they play longer. Well, I would argue that having spaces to get outdoors and into play and into recreational activities is important at all times of the year. There's, in my opinion, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. But we know that people of all ages are going to be more interested in getting outdoors with the nicer weather. And so, of course, it's important to help support kids of all ages in getting outdoors and into play and being able to do so safely.
Right. And do you think that, obviously this is pretty timely with the announcement yesterday by the provincial government, do you think that the new openings will be beneficial in terms of their timelines? So obviously in the next few weeks, it looks like, I think in phase one, like sports leagues and stuff can open. Do you think that announcement's sort of beneficial? Do you think there's more that could have been done there? Is there maybe something missing that you'd like to have seen? Or
I mean, it's definitely in the right direction. When you compare policies across Canada, Ontario specifically, even despite the fact that we've known for months and months now that viral transmission is very, very low outdoors, Ontario is the only province that's specifically restricted outdoor spaces as opposed to the activities that are associated with increased risk of transmission. So in other provinces, like Quebec, for example, they put restrictions on contact sports because we know that if you are playing rugby and you're breathing into each other's faces, you know, chances are that your risk of transmission is going to be increased. But in Ontario, they didn't specifically focus on the activities that are associated with high contact or, reduced distancing between people. They specifically restricted the spaces, which I think is a real shame. We at Outdoor Play Canada are very happy to see that those restrictions are now being lifted, because there's no reason why a soccer field needs to be used solely for soccer. It's a big outdoor space that can be used for frisbee, for picking dandelions, for, you know, anything that can be done in a very small group or with your own household.
Right, and how important do you think that is, these spaces are, especially for folks that potentially don't have that green space at their homes or are living in apartments or anything? How important is it for those adults and children to have those spaces?
Oh, yeah, of course, it's a good point. Very, very important. Part of that survey that we conducted early in April of 2020, we also looked at the impact of built environment on children's time outdoors and outdoor play. And of course, unsurprisingly, what we found was that those who live in houses spent more time outdoors because it was far more accessible than those who are living in apartment buildings. The other thing that we saw was that those who lived in dense urban spaces and in apartment buildings, if they had a green space within 1 kilometer of their home, they actually had a higher likelihood of spending time outdoors. So having access to green open spaces doesn't need to be, you know, a big forest or, you know, a lush, nature reserve. It just needs to be a space for children and youth to get into, and that seems to be enough to at least preserve those important movement behaviors.
Right, and like after Doug Ford had originally announced the outdoor ban in early April, I know he reversed to open up playgrounds, but I know that there's a lot of adult spaces like tennis courts and golf courses that remained closed. And do you think that there was a bit of a flaw there in terms of opening up the playgrounds for children but not giving the same opportunity for adults to get outside?
Yes, absolutely. I think we were able to use those spaces safely before, and like I said, you know, restrict group activities, restrict high contact activities, but to actually block off those spaces for general use, I think was a shame, and I'm glad that those things are being reversed now.
Right. Is there any
outdoor play as well, of course.
Yeah, of course. In terms of campaigns, did Outdoor Play Canada run anything in the past year or so, or in the last few months, in terms of promoting people to find ways to exercise even through the closures, or?
Well, we are a network. We're not a program provider.
Okay.
But what we have done is try to amplify all of the programs that did try to support outdoor play and provide opportunities and ideas to help support kids in getting outdoors. One program that was really excellent and still exists is Saskatchewan in Motion. They created an events calendar where they had every day of the week they provided different ideas for kids to be able to play and to get outdoors. And it didn't have to be, again, into big parks or recreational spaces, but it could be done on their own, it could be done locally and in their own neighborhoods. And so there were a number of different resources, and we tried to amplify them, and you can take a look on our website if you'd like to, under our resources page to see all of those those resources that have come of it.
With the schools being closed specifically over the last few times over the last year, how important do you think it is to launch specifically organized sports for children in the next bit? Because I know that potentially is a part of phase one. How much do you think that, how important do you think that'll be for kids to be able to do that, especially with not seeing too many of their friends over the last year or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely part of it in terms of promoting children's play. Of course, there are concerns with high contact sports. And so, you know, we need to do so carefully and to do so in alignment with public health restrictions and guidelines. But I think, you know, in addition to supporting sports being reintroduced, I think we need to support kids in being active in whatever way they'd like to be. So we've seen, you know, a real re-engagement with unstructured activities, cycling, with scootering, with just walking, with running, with skipping. So all these activities, you know, can be safely done apart from other people, and also give children opportunities to sort of think a little bit more creatively about what kind of sport they can create. I know that, also going back to your last question, Participaction had a whole campaign on invent a sport. So what kind of thing can you do creatively, in your own backyard, in your front yard, on the cul-de-sac that doesn't require high contact with other people?
Luis, is there anything else you think you'd like to add?
You know, I, of course, my efforts are focused on outdoor play, and that's primarily because we know that that when children go outdoors, like I mentioned, they move more, sit less, and play longer. I mean, there's a substantial amount of evidence now based out of Canada and internationally showing that outdoor play is important for children's physical, mental, emotional, social, ecological health and development. So supporting kids, and I say kids, but really, you know, children and adults, because we, you know, it can be a real source of joy. So supporting, you know, all people in Canada in getting outdoors and into play is really important for our overall health, and is important to keep our physical health up in order for us to combat, you know, this virus that we've been combating for so long. So, I think it's really important. And then I think on top of it, we've seen this big problem during the pandemic that children and youth are not moving enough and spending too much time in front of screens. But we've also seen this re-engagement with the outdoors. And so while we're seeing a problem, we're also seeing a solution. That the solution to not moving enough is simply to get outdoors. And what we're hoping is that re-engagement with the outdoors, with that rediscovery of how great it is to be outside and to play, won't be lost once we're finally done with this pandemic. So that's my little plug, I guess.
Yeah, definitely agree with you there, Luis. All right, thanks for your time, and I hope you have a good long weekend. Hopefully get a chance to get outside.
Thank you.
On today's show, I spoke to Kitchener Minor Baseball President Ron Moybrook and Outdoor Play Canada Research Manager Luis Delannoy. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative Grant Program and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news and other stories commissioned under the Local Journalism Initiative at canada-info.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca. For CKMS Radio 102.7, this is Naimish Modi. Thank you for listening.